the message that God has placed upon this church today is magnificent, if you could just look at this title. Straight from the Bible. And the title is, To Him Belong Glory and Dominion Forever and Ever, Amen. I think that alone is an amazing message. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever, Amen. Do you know Him? Do you know such person? I'm really asking this question. Do you know Him? If you know Him, your life will never be the same. I really do believe that. This is, if there is such a person, that person is someone great. Do you know Him? I'm really asking this question. Okay? If there is such a person, someone who has all the glory and dominion belongs to one person, glory and dominion. It's not Mr. Putin. He's like a drop of water in a bucket. Book of Isaiah says. United States of America is like a drop of water in a bucket before this person, person of God. He's the Almighty and He's majestic. However, this glory and dominion belong to Him not only for a few years like presidency or dictatorship like Hitler or Alexander or Napoleon, but rather forever and ever. Do you even know what that is? The construction of the original text of forever and ever is amazing, which I'll explain at the end. Ionian, which means eternity, is used twice. Which means, if you were to translate this literally, it means eternal eternity. Do you know what that is? That's Christianity. That is what Christian gospel is. Eternity into eternity, or eternal eternity, if you were to translate that literally. And to Him, this person, the dominion and glory belongs to Him eternally, eternity. Pretty amazing if you think about it. And this is the third and last message of life of a Christian, Peter calls, to live in first century Roman world context, as well as our 21st century context. It really applies to you, and the scripture is really, really speaking to you. I hope you are listening, okay? With the heart that, Lord, change my life. Not whatever, okay? So, we've been talking about, in light of this foundational doctrine of the entire New Testament, which is the imminency. I know I've been talking about this word 3 weeks in a row. Imminent return of Christ. The end. Telos. Telos. That God has ordained, Mark Google calendared, the last day, the end. And that's all over the New Testament. And it's very difficult to, in fact, you don't understand the scripture if you don't read the scripture in light of that. Okay, that's what we've been talking about. And Peter began by stating it in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore live like this. In other words, what he's telling you to live, telling the church to live, is not out of context because it's an ethical thing to do, nice thing to do, but because the end is imminent. Last week in our foundations class, by the way, we spent about 6 months, and I'm hoping to start another one sometime in the fall. And this group was very, very faithful. I really appreciate the foundations group this time around. Nobody really walked away. And we talked about afterlife. What happens after you die? We all are concerned about that. And we were talking about that. And we were reading through last book of the Bible, New Testament, book of Revelation, chapter 19, 20, 21, 22. It's breathtaking. It really is. And the last chapter, After the new heaven and new earth come down, after the Satan and all the unbelievers thrown into the lake of fire forever, new heaven and new earth come down, and the last chapter of the Bible, of the revelation of God himself, Jesus said three times, I am coming soon. Not I am coming one day. I am coming soon. There's a difference, right? Do you hear it? I am coming soon. Is Jesus lying? Is Jesus bluffing? You know, think about it, people. This morning, I woke up just really rested well. Sunday morning, Lord gives me sleep, and I woke up early, and then I was thinking about these words. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. The end of all thing is at hand. That sounds like absolute truth. You know, there is a relative reality. There is reality. For example, let me give you an example. I am living in New York. Is that a reality? Yes, it is. But soon it's not going to be a reality. That's not an absolute reality. You understand that? But the fact that Jesus is coming soon is not relative reality. That's an absolute reality. How do you know? Because Jesus said, heaven and earth will fade away, but my words will never fade away. I hope you have ears to hear. You will never die. If you believe in me, you will never die. That is not a relative truth. That's an absolute truth. You will never die. To him belong dominion and glory forever and ever. It's not relative truth that will fade away in 10 years, 20 years. But it'll be the truth, even after all of you are gone and I'm gone. And I was thinking about that. So in light of this great truth, Bible says, therefore live. And we talked about how to live in light of that imminency of Christ for 3 weeks now. This is the third week. First was, therefore, be in right mind. Bible is saying, you are not in the right mind unless you are in Christ. And the picture that Scripture draws is, please don't get upset, but maybe you need to be upset. The picture that Scripture has drawn of a person who is not in right mind is the person who was demon-possessed with legion. Remember, 2,000 pigs came out of that man, the demon came out, and went into the pigs, went down the hill, and drowned, and then that man was in the right mind. Sophrenio. Okay? So be in right mind so that you will be in communion with God. You'll be alive with God. If you're not alive with God, listen, your serving and loving is your own strength. It doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry. It means, I guess, a little bit, but it doesn't mean anything in eternal value. That was the first teaching. And last week we talked about, in light of the imminency of Christ, since Christ is coming back soon, love one another as Christ has loved you. In other words, this is a relationship of believers in light of grace and mercy that was shown upon your life. Otherwise, you can't do love one another. Okay? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. If you don't do it out of like Christ's strength and love, you're going to grumble all the time. And people grumble. Don't you hear grumble? I hear people grumble. I served so long and nobody recognizes me. It just comes out, that kind of grumbling spirit. Bible and God teaches us that we live our Christian life in light of one another. Otherwise, you're not living a Christian life. Scripture is teaching people to live in light of one another, of the believers. Okay? In community of believers. Learning to live. We learn to sharpen one another, learning to be kind and compassionate to one another. We learn to forgive one another. You learn, otherwise you don't learn, okay? And you learn to spur one another, share one another, care for one another. Without one another and the church context, you do not learn. And many people go to church, barely sneaks in, sneaks out, never learn the church. Never. Never learn what Christianity is. Because it was never meant to be like that. And in summary, what is that? Loving one another as Christ has loved us. And I hope this gives you a proper perspective what Christianity is. A lot of people think Christianity is my personal relationship with the Lord. And the churches I could do online. You could never do it like that. You're not learning anything like that. In fact, you're not even respecting the word of God is teaching you to live. Okay? So in John chapter 13, Jesus taught his disciples to love one another because he's going to the Father. He's not here. So loving one another is loving Christ. How do you love Christ that you do not see when you cannot love other Christians that you see all the time? Would you think with me? I love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord? Would you say amen? And if you are not loving Christians within the context of the church, you are not loving God. Bible says you are a liar. Bible straight up says you are a liar. You are a liar before the Lord if you cannot love Christians that you see all the time. But if you're not around, how do you love Christians then? Answer is, you don't. Okay, so that's the second teaching. And today, Peter exhorts Christians in context of persecuting world to live in light of Lord's imminency. I want to just keep saying the word. Would you repeat after me? Imminency. Imminence. Christ is imminent. He's imminent, people. And people will be like the time of Noah. Where is his coming? Eating, drinking, giving into marriage, raising kids, buying a house, vacationing, you never come into the ark. Until ark is closed, and you don't even know. Okay, so remember that. So today, the last teaching in light of this imminency of Christ to the church from Peter and the Bible, in light of this persecuting world, is yes, be alive with God and love one another now. Love and serve one another in context of the church. Okay? So that's verse 10 and 11, only two verses. It's not that many verses, but I allotted three Sundays because I thought it was very, very important. And today I want to talk about how to serve the church with your spiritual gifts, okay? Spiritual gifts. The end of all thing is near. Therefore be in right mind and sober-minded for the sake of your prayer. First, you need to be alive. You need to be alive. You need to be in vital relationship with the Lord. Okay? And then secondly, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, verse 10 and 11 is for today, and it's about the spiritual gift. Each person, that's each spiritual Christian person who has the Spirit of God dwelling inside, has a gift. It's a spiritual gift because Spirit of God lives in him. I hope that makes sense. So emphasis is not really you, but emphasis is the presence of the Spirit, presence of God. If God is in me, wouldn't there be some manifestation? I hope that makes sense to you. That's what spiritual gift is. Each has received a gift, and word gift is charisma. And the word grace is charis. You just need to add ma at the end. Charis is grace. Charisma is a gift. Gift, God's gift, okay? So each one has received a charisma or gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied charis, grace. I hope you see the relationship right there. And then he kind of like summarizes into two big categories of spiritual charisma or gifts. Whoever speaks, a speaking gift, like preaching, teaching, exhortation, and prophecy, teaching, more like the gifts of the elders, if you will. Okay, that's the first category. If you have the spiritual gift of speaking, speak as a one who speaks the very oracles or word of God. As I'm preaching, I'm hoping, I really pray that I'm speaking to you as God is speaking to you. Not try to please your ears, right? If it is serving, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In other words, emphasis is not spiritual gift, the person, but emphasis is God who gives that spiritual gift. I love this. I love this teaching. Hyphen, in order that in everything God may be glorified, right? When God is revealed, his glory will be revealed. Through your spiritual gifts, hopefully God is revealed. The quality of God is, your character of God is revealed. Whether it is serving gift, helping gift, administration gift, mercy gift, faith gift, teaching gift. If you think about it, it's all quality of God, isn't it? God wants to speak the word to you. That's him. And because the Spirit of God is in me, and he empowers me, and he gives me a gift of teaching, so he speaks the very word of God as he desires. Some of you have a spiritual gift of helping. There are people who are really, really quietly helping. There are some of you who have spiritual gift of mercy. Whose quality is that? That's God himself, because the Spirit of God is in him or in her. Mercy just kind of flows. God gives you that manifestation of the Spirit in you, empowers you so that the spiritual gift or charisma may flow out of you because the grace has poured upon your life. That's the spiritual gift. Okay? Whoever serves as one who served by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then he burst into this doxology, and you know, godly men always do. Paul does that often, and Peter does that here. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so that's the plan. So I want to talk about spiritual gifts of Christians. Okay, it says to the church, as each has received a gift, charisma, use it to serve one another as good stewards or managers of God's varied grace or charis. Okay? In other words, each Christian, if you are born again and regenerated, Spirit lives in you, God has given you a gift, spiritual gift, which is really his himself, from himself, his quality, his character, the word, teaching, preaching, helping, serving, mercy, help, right? And prophecy, and discerning the spirit. Can you imagine if the church leaders don't have the discerning spirit? Whatever the world teaches, you just receive it, this church will be a disaster. God's church will be a disaster. And God's leaders, elders, and deacons need to have that kind of spiritual gift. So, but I want to share this. Each Christian has a gift. Can I just ask you, what is your spiritual gift? Do you know? You should know. Okay? What is your charisma, referring to the spiritual gifts? And it's a gift, people. It's a gift, which means to whom do you give gifts? People normally you want to please, right? Someone you care, someone you love. And God, although we don't deserve it, he has given us a gift. Grace. And we have a spiritual gift to love him and love his people, serve him and serve his people. That's what this gift is about. Okay? So we talked about three one another. Love one another. Show hospitality to one another. Now the third one is serve one another. Do you serve one another? I'm really asking this question. Did you learn to serve other Christians? Okay. And the gift, the reason that God, Holy Spirit, gives the gift to his church or his Christian, to Christians, is to serve one another. Okay. As each has received a gift, use it in serving one another. Why? Because the end is near. Can you put that into context? It's not just because it's nice to. Okay, hey, I have a teaching gift. I have a helping gift. Let me help you. Let me teach you. It's not that, because the context of this whole teaching is because the Lord is near. That spins everything differently, doesn't it? That spins everything differently. Okay? And I was thinking about this. Charisma is charis. Gift is grace. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, it's absolutely the case. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the quality of God. I don't deserve of this passionate heart for the word of God to his people. I don't deserve it. But Lord has given me. I really cherish that. And I want to share this with whoever, whether it is African pastors or whoever. It's a gift from the Lord. Can we talk about gift, grace? What has God given you as a gift? Salvation. If you're not thankful for that, yeah, you're not a Christian. Probably not a Christian. What has God given you as a gift? God has given you faith. Faith, clear, says in Ephesians chapter 2, it's a gift. Just because you want to believe, you could believe. Just because I don't want to believe and you cannot believe. Faith is a gift. Think about it, people. To an undeserved. But I think the greatest gift is the Spirit of God in me. It says in Luke, if the Father asked for, if the Son asked for a bread, who would give him a stone? If a son asks for a fish, who will give him a scorpion? Even the earthly fathers, they know, they want to give the best thing to their children. How much more will the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit? I hope you hear it. God has given you the greatest gift as a father, and the greatest gift is the Holy Spirit. Is it your career? Is it your degree? Or is it Holy Spirit? You think about it. Is it your stability of your job? Is it your bonus? Or is it the Spirit of God? Think about it, people. Okay, so Christians, who has given this gift, charisma of salvation and spirit, he also gives a spiritual gift. Gift of serving. Gift of mercy. Gift of helping. Gift of taking care of the sick. Gift of just feeding people. Gift of just taking, bringing people to Lord himself. Gift of evangelism. What is your gift? Can I just ask you? Okay. I just want to keep asking this question because you should know. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you should be able to know, and you need to obey and use it and develop it humbly. That's what spiritual gift is. What is the purpose of spiritual gift? So that you could use it to serve one another and to build this church. Does that sound like an important thing? Absolutely is, people. And apart from the church, you can't do it. You just can't do it. You can't live a Christian life. Okay, I want to expand a little bit and teach a little bit about spiritual gift. Not extensively, but we will do it in membership class. You know why you need to serve one another? Because if you're a Christian, you are a member of one body. Hand, feet, legs, eyes, nose. You are a member of one body. And think about it. If you're a member of a body, you can't do it in the periphery. You can't just not be involved and committed to a local church. I hope you hear the word of God and the heart of God. So 1 Corinthians, spiritual gifts, and I'm just going to read it and try to explain it to you. Paul explains the spiritual gifts like this. Now, concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, meaning unbelievers, you were led astray to mute idols. In other words, before you became a Christian, you were led by some spirit to idolatry. If you're not a Christian, you're living in idolatry right now, worshiping idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God, if that's Christian, ever say Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is the Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people say, and of course, you know, do you want to believe in Jesus? Is Jesus Lord of it? Yeah. But they really don't mean it. They really don't mean it. And you would say, who curses Jesus? So many people in this world. Jesus! What is he doing? He's cursing. F Jesus. I hear that all the time. People in this world, that's not the Spirit of God. That's spirit that is not of God. If it is the Spirit of God, you will never be able to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I live for him. I want to live to serve him. Unless the Spirit of God is in you, you will never be able to say that. And then continues in verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but same God who empowers them all in everyone. That's amazing teaching. There are varieties of gifts, variety of services, and there are variety of activities, but it is one Spirit, Lord, and God. What does that sound like? Triune God. Triune God who empowers them all so that we could be the church. That's amazing. If you are not in Christ, you are being led by the Spirit that is not of God right now to idolatry. I just want to clarify that. Scripture teaches that. You're not neutral. You are being led by the Spirit that is not of God to idolatry. But those of you who are in Christ, you are being led by the Spirit of God, so that this spiritual gift teaching applies to you, and you confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And you don't have to say amen. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, to whom you desire to live to, would you say amen? That's the Spirit of God. And the rest of you, you need to ask the Lord. You need to ask the Lord. Okay? Varieties of gifts, varieties of services, varieties of activities. Yes, there's helping gift, there's mercy gift, there's teaching gift, and there is like administrative gift. There are all kinds of gifts needed for the church, and Bible speaks about in Romans and Ephesians and Corinthians. But same Spirit, same Lord, and same God. We're going to talk about this in Foundations today from 1 Corinthians teaching. Isn't that amazing? And according to the will of God, he apportions you whichever spiritual gift that God has given you. What is your spiritual gift? And how are you using that to serve the church? Okay? The word same God empowers, it denotes he's the one who operates, he's the one who works. He's the one who produces, because Spirit of God. Now, think with me. If the Spirit of God is with me, would that manifest? Of course. If the Spirit of God is in you, would that manifest? Of course. How can the Spirit of God not possibly manifest it in you if God is in you? Okay? Verse 7. So each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spirit of God is in you, and the manifestation of God is in you for the common good, so that we help each other build this church so that the world may see Jesus. Okay? It is each, every true spirit indwelling Christian. The spirit lives, and the manifestation, or the visible and observable manifestation of the spirit and or the spiritual gift will be in you. I'm sharing this because to encourage the Christians and those of you who are not sure, you need to think about this and you need to come to Christ. Okay? I want to encourage Christians. God has given you grace. Charis. That's why you have charisma, gift, to serve one another, to build a church. To each one is given by the Spirit variety of gifts and services and activities. Some of you may be involved with Sunday school, teaching. Some of you involved with serving, with food. Some of you involved with bringing people here. It's all God's heart, isn't it? Quality of God, character of God, and has given to you all these different things, but it is same God who empowered you so that he will build his church. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because the world needs to see Christ in this church. If this teaching is being registered to you, would you say amen? Brothers and sisters, this is exciting. And then he gives like 9 examples of spiritual gifts, okay? But listen to this, verse 8, 9, 10. For to one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom. Some people have wisdom because Spirit is in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, you have no wisdom. Because wisdom, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You speak out, blab out foolish things all the time. Okay? And to another, the utterance of knowledge, about knowledge of God, knowledge of the Word of God. Right? It's a spiritual gift according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith. Someone demonstrate faith. Okay, by the same Spirit, to another, gift of healing by the one Spirit. Some people really care for sick people. They want to visit. They want to lay their hands. They want to pray for them. Some people just have that kind of heart and merciful heart. Who has that? God has that. Do you have it? Right? To another, working of the miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability and distinguish between spirits. If you don't distinguish the spirits, this church will be a chaos. Right? Someone who teaches false teaching comes here and you listen to them, you're drawn to them, and you're attracted to them. If the elders are not being able to discern that, this church will be a chaos. And so many churches are in chaos. Right? To another, the various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. 9 different kind of spiritual gifts, but same one Spirit, one God. For the purpose of common good, to building up the church, glorify Christ. I hope. If you're a Christian, I know you're going to be rejoicing over this. If you're a Christian, wow, God has given me a charisma so that I could be part of his church and I could glorify Christ through my life. I think it'll excite you. Last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All these different kinds of gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, and he apportioned, which means he gave to you, to each one individually, as he wills. So whatever the gifts the Lord has given you, that's the Lord's will. So you should be thankful. Okay? It is the one and the same Spirit who empowers and apportions to each individually as God wills. How many of you are not upset about your own spiritual gift? Please speak to Pastor Paul Park. No. God has given you spiritual gift that you do not deserve, so that you could build, be part of God's church, to build up his church for the glory of Christ. Coming back to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm taking my time, only two verses, but spending time like this because in light of imminent return of Christ, if you have a spiritual gift, charisma, grace in your life, use it to build this church. And in order for you to do that, you need to be a member of this church. What's a member? My hand is a member of my body. My arm is a member of my body. My feet, my leg is a member of my body. There is only one body. Apart from it, how can you be part of that body? That's why you need to be a member. Bible speaks about membership. Bible speaks about member of the body of Christ, which is what church is. Can you picture with me? If my hand, I used to do dentistry and did a lot of, I think, good things, produce a lot of revenues with this hand. You guys don't look impressed. Let's say I cut it. Oh, so good. Once you use it and give it to someone else, what's going to happen? It means nothing. This hand is good when it is attached to the body. Okay? That's why you need to be a member. Humbly, I need my hand to feed through my mouth. And I need my stomach to digest so that the nourishment will go to the rest of my body. In other words, church needs members of his body. Okay? As each have received a gift, spiritual gift, in light of imminency, use it. Use it, people. Are you using it? Are you just burying it and hiding it? Okay? And serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I love that word. If you are a Christian, your life, whole life belongs to the Lord. And if you agree with me, would you say amen? If you're a Christian, your whole life belongs to the Lord. What does that include? Let me just kind of, your whole life, your hours, your resources, your family, your children, your marriage, your health, your own body, everything belongs to the Lord, and which makes us what? Servants or stewards. Okay, and I guess like contemporary term is you're managers. If you're a manager of a, let's say, store, is that store yours? No, it's not. Can you just open the cash register and use it whatever the way you want to spend? You're not a manager. You are a thief if you do that. The whole thing belongs to the Lord, and you live for the Lord. And we are stewards and managers of God's various varied charis or grace, implying that these are God's gifts. Think about it. If God has given me teaching gift or evangelism gift, it's God's gift. And I manage it. I'm a steward. And I need to humbly receive it, use it, and develop it, and grow, and give glory to God. That's what gifts is. Okay? Live your life as a steward and manager. Verse 11, Peter basically subdivided the gifts into just two big categories. I already explained speaking gift, and then there is serving gift, okay? Speaking gift, I already shared those people who preach and teach and prophesy and exhort, teaching gifts, right? So how do we need to do it? He says, do it as one who speaks the very oracles of God. When I am preaching here, I better preach as I'm preaching the word of God and preaching to you. Okay, let me just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, listen to this. This is I so resonate with this. So that's why I want to share it with you. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways, and we refuse to practice cunning to tamper with God's word. Cunning. Sounds like Sounds like satanic word, right? Devil was cunning. But from the pulpit, as I'm teaching the word of God, I could be cunning. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be well. And you will excel in your corporate ladder, and you'll do well in this world. And if you believe in Jesus and serve this church well, you're going to be a leader in this church. You're going to be an elder or a deacon in this church. What am I doing? I'm being cunning. I'm doing a business with you. I'm tempering the word. And Paul says, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to temper with the word, but with the open statement of the truth, we would commend to your conscience. What I'm trying to do is the word of God. I pray that it'll speak to your conscience. My job, my goal, my calling is through the truth and with the word of God, and your conscience need to be commended. As I'm speaking this, your conscience need to be bothered. What is your spiritual gift? Are you using it? Are you trying to build the church? Not guilt trip, but this needs to be speaking to your conscience. If you are a Christian, you're going to wake up. If you're not a Christian, maybe you will have a desire. I need to come to Christ, so I need to have a spirit of God in me. That's what it is. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. That's how we need to speak. If it is the teaching or speaking gift. Okay, I think that sums up really well. Not substituting mere intellect or rhetorical skills for God's word. Nor counterfeit or diluting the word of God so that you will love me. Yeah, I love this church. Why? Why do you love this church? Right? Second category of gifts that Peter speaks about in light of imminency of Christ is serving gift. And many of you do have it. I see it. Administration is a very important gift. Okay, I praise God. We have like people who could fix this place. I do. And we have people with gift of serving, gift of like helping, gift of like mercy. If it is serving gifts, whoever serves, what does it say? Serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Naturally, if the Spirit of God lives in you, He's going to supply the strength. If the Spirit of God reside in you, you would want to serve the church. He would empower you. He would supply the need. So what are you going to do when you serve and when people are like built up and for the common good? What are you going to say? You're going to praise God. It's because of His charis. I have this charisma. You're going to praise God. So God gets glorified because through you, God is manifested. Quality and attributes and the character of God is manifested. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That's the way church got meant to be. We're going to talk about church. When you think of church, so many people say negative things. Why? Are you helping to build that negative church that you imagine to be better? Or are you part of that negative thing? I hope you're listening. Okay. Serving the church is by the strength of God that supplies and who empowers of the Spirit. Or else, if it is effective, it'll never be. You're going to be proud. Okay? And if you don't rely upon the Spirit, it'll be ineffective. It'll be fruitless. Is your life fruitful? I really want to ask you. Is your life serving, following Christ, fruitful? Serving of the church is to be done in God's Spirit and empowerment. And that's so obvious, isn't it? When we do that, what happens? Christ gets glorified. God gets glorified. Because God's quality, God's character, God's attribute is manifested because we are being merciful. We are forgiving each other. We are really caring for one another. We are really helping each other. We are really serving each other. We are really sharing to one another. Who gets glorified? God gets glorified. Okay? In everything, the result will be God will be glorified through Jesus. And I love it, people. And this is all said in light of his imminent return. Okay? I just want to close. What is your spiritual gift? What is your spiritual gift? If you are a Christian, you would begin to know, or you've been using it. If you're not a Christian, Spirit of God does not live in you, you probably think, I have no clue, probably. Either way, I want to encourage you. That's why I'm sharing this again and again and again. Let me summarize. In light of the end of all things is near, imminency, you live, therefore, in right mind and be alive with God in prayer. Apart from that, you will do nothing. Okay? Secondly, you love one another earnestly and be hospitable to one another rather than so selfish and stingy. Giving gift. I think that's Christian heart. If you love the church, and this has nothing to do about financial giving. If you love the church, you would want to give. If you love the Lord, you would want to give, no? And then third, today, serve one another. If God has given you charisma because God has given you charis, use it to serve one another. And then Peter, who's speaking to people who are living in under the persecution, just burst into doxology. What's doxology? Glorifying God, which is in the scripture, and I hope you burst into doxology once in a while. It says, to him. Who's him? Well, it could be Jesus, it could be God. I think it's not clear. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. He uses in Greek original word twice, eternity, eternity. I think he got excited. Paul got excited in Romans chapter 8. Paul gets excited. God, men and women of God, gets excited when they think about God's grace. Right? Literally says, into the eternity of eternity. That doesn't sound like a relative truth. That's an absolute truth. You will never die. The end of all things is near. And to him, only to him, there is no equal. We sang that today. There is no equal. No comparison. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray.